This message was shared from the pulpit at Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org.
So I've been praying about what to speak on tonight. God has continued to take my mind back to last week. I'm curious what you think about the preaching, the principles, the truths that we heard. I'm curious what God did in your heart with those principles. I'm guessing that there may be some here who are also curious about what God was doing in my heart as I took in that truth. Again, I want to encourage you to go back, listen over and over to those messages. We were getting truth in heavy doses, and I don't know about you, but I've got to go back and take smaller bites and just meditate on what God showed us. One observation from my own life last week, this is just me, I don't know if it's you, but last week was a week of great peace for me. I had a sense, as the preaching was happening, that God was meeting with us. I sensed a quiet here, an earnest focus on your part as truth was being shared. But through the week, it went quickly. I am always a little tired at the end of those weeks, not of preaching, but of doing that much thinking, especially in the evenings. But it was just a week where God lifted my heart. And I hope you just had a sense from the Lord that God was teaching us, meeting with us. Probably you heard some things that maybe were new to you, things that you hadn't considered before. But I think we can all say it was clearly from the Word of God. And so I want to thank the Lord for that. But I also want to address tonight some cautions and then revisit some truths, things that the Lord spoke to my heart about directly. I started hearing these truths back at the Holiness Conference that John referenced. He and some other leaders in the Midwest had this conference that was meeting together, started out as a holiness conference, challenging the church to get back to applying Scripture to all areas of our life. But then, with that focus, it turned to the fact that you and I cannot live holy lives apart from the Lord, the indwelling Spirit of Christ. And so truths were being shared. God was doing a personal work in John Van Gelderen's life, and he was studying revival. And many of us started to digest some of the resources that he had on his book table. I remember years before this even happened, that I heard some college students when I was in Bible college talking about a book that had moved them. And it was Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. How many of you have read that book? Okay. And I thought, all right, what was his spiritual secret? And so I read that, and I'll be honest, in my spiritual immaturity, I was a little disappointed because, not because of what he was saying, but because I didn't understand what he was saying. What was Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret? Christ in me, the hope of glory. But I did not understand even what that meant. And so I started to go to those conferences. God moved me. I was in my first pastorate. I started to preach those truths there. Folks, I could tell, were getting excited about those things. But then something else happened. I started to get opposition from those who considered themselves to be spiritual about what I was preaching. It's clearly from the Word of God. I remember one individual who said this to me. He considered himself a spiritual leader. He said this, I don't know why you're preaching these things. What you're saying is if we push certain buttons, God's got to respond a certain way. I said, what? And what he was really implying is we can manipulate God. And I want to address that because I hope we understand from the preaching we heard, it has nothing to do with us manipulating God to get our way. It's God controlling us so that he gets his way. We don't push God's buttons, we let him control our hearts and our lives. And the truths in Scripture all point to that. I am indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, but he needs to have complete control of me. And so God continued to encourage me with those truths. I did a lot more reading. Renee was doing a lot of reading in these regards, and God really used it to change our lives. Now, when you understand these truths, you begin to understand yourself better too. The closer you get to the Lord, remember Isaiah, what he said, I believe it was chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, how did he see himself? I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Closer you get to God, the better you see yourself. And so that is always part of this as well. But it makes us desperate to just walk in the Spirit, walk with the Lord. Now, I do want to just mention one other caution, and I listened to your feedback. Nobody has said this, but I overheard conversation. Okay, one evening, the evangelist gave the illustration of his father, who was going to visit a man in the hospital. And the evangelist worded it this way, the Holy Spirit said to him. Remember that illustration? Okay. Was he referring to an audible voice, yes or no? No. That needs to be very clear. All right? But one of the things that happens when you walk in the Spirit and when you are seeking the guidance of our counselor, who is our comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. When you're seeking his guidance and you understand he is the one that will lead you into truth, that does include the truth of Scripture. In fact, I would say this to you, God has led me into truth where he'll bring Scripture to my mind, and then with the new song right here, he brings the truth of Scripture through song to my mind. But there are times as well where I will seek the Lord's guidance. I hope you'll get in the habit of this. Lord, I need your direction for just daily decisions, choices that need to be made. And when you ask him, expect him to respond to that. And when he responds, don't be surprised if, maybe not at that moment, but later, you get a strong sense that you need to do something in regards to what you prayed. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, we as Christians know that this happens, but we dismiss it as being something else. Sometimes we use expressions like, well, I just had a sense. Anybody ever said that? I just felt like I needed to. I had this feeling. You know, we use these expressions. We need to give the Holy Spirit his due, his credit. And I can also tell you instances of failure where I was in the middle of something and I know it was the Holy Spirit reminding me to make a call, to stop and to go do this, and I didn't listen. And then I forget. Anybody struggle with forgetting? Okay. I'm so thankful that the Paraclete, and that's the Holy Spirit, God, the Lord Jesus said he'd send another comforter of the very same kind who will come alongside. He's our Paraclete. He comes alongside to assist. And he does that through the day. He is not just a silent observer. He is an active participant who needs to be the one who is actually leading in the partnership. Okay? And so if you have a sense from the Lord and you're prompted to do something, stop and do it. Just do it. Now, how do we know if that sense from the Lord is not from the Lord? It will clearly go against Scripture. But when that happens, I've also immediately had a sense from the Lord, don't do that because I said this. See, he's always there to lead and to guide. And so, even in that illustration, when Brother John was talking about his dad having a sense from the Lord, he was going to heal that man. That does not indicate that Dr. Van Gelderen Sr. had the gift of healing. It's not what he was saying. In fact, that passed with the apostles. All right? God does heal miraculously. James 5 tells us how he does that today. But he was not talking about the gift of healing. In fact, he was not talking about spiritual gifts like healing, but the Spirit's guiding. Now, let's just be practical. If he is our comforter and our guide, he's with us even to the end of this age. But he never says anything. He just only convicts. Have you ever had a companion that the only thing they ever noticed was everything you're doing wrong? What a blessing. That is not who the Holy Spirit is. He convinces the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the world. But for us, he is our comforter. When Jesus said that to the disciples, it was at a time when they needed comforting. He had just said, I'm going back to the Father. No, it's good. It's needful. I'm going to send another comforter of the very same kind, a reference to the Trinity, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one, and he will guide you. What a blessing. All right, so I want to just close with these thoughts. And I'm sharing a testimony tonight. These are the things that God did in my heart. These reminders from last week that I hope will help maybe some things to gel in your mind, help reinforce what God taught all of us. First of all, let's revisit that thought of who we are with Christ in us. Who we are with Christ in us. Remember the distinction that's made. The evangelist brought it out, but it's a distinction in the Scripture that Christ is in us and then we are in Christ. Remember that? Important distinction. So, who we are with Christ in us. A couple different times I've taken us to Romans chapter 6 to 8. The evangelist referenced those as well, where the Apostle Paul, and it's always a curiosity to me that it was Paul who God used mainly to instruct us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But as Paul writes about the theology of our salvation in the book of Romans, in chapter 6 to 8, he helps us understand. Okay, we're sinners. That's the early chapters of Romans. But then when he gets to 6 to 8, after we learn what Christ did for us, God showed his love to us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right, chapter 5. Now we get into chapter 6 to 8. Here's who you are in Christ. And remember, Paul says there, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. That is who we are. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. And Paul will help us understand, too, why then, if we are dead to sin, alive unto Christ, why we are still tempted to sin. And Paul, again, uses three words. They're synonymous, but they help us understand why sin is still able to be a problem with us. He uses three words. He uses the word flesh, he uses the word body, and members, all referring to the same thing. What is it? When I got saved, the old nature was put to death. I received the new nature, who is the very person of Jesus Christ, but when he moved in, he didn't give me a new body. Too bad. I tell the Lord regularly, I am sick and tired of this flesh. It wants to eat too much, sleep too much, too much, too much. Okay, that's my flesh. So I didn't get a new body, and by the way, I didn't get a new mind. What if the Lord had just cleared the hard drive and made it all new? Yes! He didn't do that. And so Paul talks about two laws, and there are laws of nature that happen all the time. The law of thermodynamics, the law of gravity, and so these are laws. You can try to define those laws. It's not going to go well. They're realities. Well, there are some laws that are true of you and me. They're laws within us because of our minds and because of this flesh. There is the law of sin. Okay? So unless the Holy Spirit is in control, the law of sin means it's in control. And Paul will say, again, in those three chapters, and I'm not having us turn there to those chapters for sake of time, but he says, if I serve the flesh, that law is going to take over, and I will fail. I'll sin. But then he says this, but with the mind, I serve the law of Christ. That's the other law. The Spirit of Christ lives right here. And so if the mind is yielded to him, then I serve the Lord. Now, you know this because over and over in the scripture, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you have memorized Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? You can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. Philippians 4, 6 to 8, again, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, think those things. Of course, that's just part of the list. All right, so those are the laws that are in play. Paul will then reinforce that truth with the Galatians. Would you turn with me now to Galatians chapter 2? Again, the evangelist preached a whole message on this wonderful text. Galatians chapter 2. Notice verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Understand this, before you were saved, what was the law? The law wasn't there so that you could keep the law and make God happy. Why? We can't keep the law. In fact, the law was a schoolmaster, and what did that teacher teach us? We're sinners. Okay? And when you understand that, you realize, I can't keep the law. God gave that to reveal who he was, his holy, mighty character, sinless, but it was given to reveal our sinfulness. All right? And so, I'm dead to that law now. Doesn't mean I shouldn't obey my Lord by keeping his word, but I don't keep it to try to merit some favor. I already have his righteousness. Now I follow his precepts, his laws, because I know it pleases him. So, therefore, I live unto God. But I can't do it in my own strength. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Okay? I'm so thankful the Lord put the old nature to death. And in my flesh, there doesn't dwell any good thing. Except that this flesh is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or through the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith. So what do I do? Understanding Christ is in me. Understanding that if I will yield to him, he controls me. By faith, I depend on him. And when I depend on him, he controls this. What a blessing. Now, Paul will say in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. What is grace? It's enablement. When I depend on the Lord, he gives me the enablement to please him. When I don't depend on him, though that's available to me and I'm not accessing that, I'm frustrating it. Okay? I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Paul will use language like this. I did not fail of the grace of God. I have all the spiritual fuel, all the help I need. I can go before the very throne of grace. Paul says, I didn't frustrate or fail of that grace. It was available to me. I was yielded to the Spirit of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All right, just a reminder, keeping the law is not what justifies me or keeps me in a place where through my flesh effort, God is pleased. So that's who we are with Christ in us. All right? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So every day, I am never alone. Every day, as I move through life, as I try to do the will of God, as I have responsibilities to fulfill, I am never alone. But I should never live as though that all depends on me. Depends on him. And I need to let him work. So that's the first part. Okay, and when it comes to walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, the evangelist made the point, when it comes to temptation, my daily efforts, my struggles, okay, thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit of Christ is in me. But it's not just the things that I have to deal with in me. There are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's a whole lot happening outside of me and around me. And he helped us understand who we are in Christ. We have Christ in us, but who we are in Christ. Now, physically, bodily, where is Jesus right now? Your Savior is in a physical body where? Right hand of the Father. Okay? And let's go back and review, be reminded of what that means for us. Ephesians chapter 1. So that the eyes of our understanding are open, verse 18. Notice verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? I'm just curious, how many believers do we have here tonight? Okay, I think that's about everybody. All right? Again, he explained that word. Believing is not believing about. There are all kinds of religious people who believe about the Lord Jesus. This means that we have put our trust in him alone. Not, remember the illustration of the two chairs? Not Jesus plus my church, Jesus plus my baptism. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Christ alone who saves. Okay? Who believe, have put their trust on, according to the working of his mighty power. The evangelist pointed out that we believe, and that's in the present tense, which means we continue to believe. We believe, and then we believe, and then we believe, and then we believe. That's what the scripture is teaching. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We just celebrated the mighty resurrection of our Lord. But that has personal implications for us. Because the risen Lord now lives in me, and I am in him. Raised to sit at the Father's right hand, and seated at the Father's right hand, I am already in Christ. He sat at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now this is exciting, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named. So he's there. We know from the scripture that as Jesus sits there, the Father is working where very soon he's going to put all things under his feet. But understand that he already has authority over all those things. He has already won the victory. He is just waiting to complete his plan, and it's going to be absolute and total victory. But he already has that dominion over all other dominions. He has that now. Now with that in mind, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Because in Ephesians, that won't be the only time that Paul talks about principalities and powers and our Lord being above all those things. He reminds the Ephesian church, and then when he gets to chapter 6, what does he teach there? Well, you'll recognize this. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We could go back. In Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Be being filled. Word means be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. All right, and so his might, his power. And remember then, with him living inside you, he has also equipped you with all of his mighty armor. All of this armor is important. That you might be able to stand in the evil day, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh, blood, principalities, powers, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore then, take the armor of God. And he lists all of that for us. But I like what the evangelist pointed out, when he talked about the shield of faith. And this really helped focus some things for me. There are times where I have wondered, where did that thought come from? I know my designer lusts. I know my weaknesses. And by the way, Renee knows a lot of them too, okay? I know what those are, but there are some times where it's just like, I'm trying to walk in the Spirit, but where did that come from? Have you ever had a thought? It's like, whoa, that's scary. That's not me. Or something else. Well, those times, sometimes the Holy Spirit reminds us, yeah, you're under attack. That's the enemy. So raise the shield of faith and remember that as he sends in those fiery arrows, you can deflect those and stop those by putting and we're back to faith again, your faith in me. Who I am, what I have promised, trust me. But this theme continues through Ephesians 6, and here's where I want to close tonight. Notice verse 18. We put on the armor, And then we don't just charge wildly. No, we pray fervently. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's the next three words? In the Spirit, through the Spirit, through His might, through His wisdom, depending on the Spirit, through the Spirit's guidance. When you and I pray, we need to be in sync with Him because we are absolutely depending on Him. Do you see that? And watching thereunto, or unto Him, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So don't just pray for you in the Spirit. Pray for others in the Spirit. He is supposed to guide everything that I do, including my praying. Now, He will guide if I'll let Him. But don't forget this. Ephesians 16 means that we are to be praying at all times, praying always with all supplication. All right? It means to be praying at all times in the Spirit or with the Spirit's aid. And of course, I love the balance of this. I don't just come to the Holy Spirit, and talk to Him constantly, let Him guide me because I am constantly in need, though that's true. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Don't forget the communion of the Spirit. You remember the word that he used to define what that word communion means? Fellowship. Now this will really test whether you believe the Trinity or not. If you can talk to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit and not feel funny about it. Because communion with the Spirit is fellowship with the Spirit. How do you fellowship with the Spirit? Talk to Him. Well, but He's God. He's Christ. Talk to Him. Lord, when I say Lord, I'm addressing all three persons of the Godhead. Lord, I need You. I don't know that Pastor Cole's meant to do this, though I think when he prays, he means to pray what he prayed. But if you noticed when he prayed on Sunday, he addressed the Spirit. That was good. It's biblical. And the hymnists, they did it all the time. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And we sing other hymns like that, addressing the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to close in a negative way, but I've told you about the man in the church when I was just starting out in the ministry, started preaching these truths, who started giving me a hard time because I was treating God like a puppet. And so back in those days, I had some older friends in the ministry. In fact, Brother John talked about some of them. One of those friends was Dr. Ed Nelson, personal friend of Pastor Cole's. So when I started to get a hard time about that, Pastor Cole's, I picked up the phone and I called Ed Nelson. I said, Dr. Nelson, back in the day, and he was part of some of these large revivals. An evangelist would go into a city, would set up either a big tent, or they would actually build a tabernacle. Any of you ever heard of the tabernacles, seen pictures of those? How many of you heard about the Sawdust Trail? They would build a temporary tabernacle, and to keep the dust down, keep the dirt down, they would fill those aisles with sawdust, put in chairs or benches. The whole city would come together in those crusades and they would hear preaching. In fact, Renee's grandmother, whose name was Stella told us that she was saved in Normal, Illinois during one of those big tabernacle citywide revivals And she said, and the preacher was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. That's how she came to Christ. So love that history. Anyway, Dr. Nelson told me, he said, Mike, we used to pray like that all the time. We used to sing about that all the time. What is being preached is not new. What's being preached fueled the great missionary movements of the past. What an encouragement. All right? And so, that's who we are in Christ. Be encouraged. Remember, when you read your Bible and you hear these expressions, walk in the Spirit, abide in the vine, Isaiah 40, wait upon the Lord, praying always, those are all referring to the same reality. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to be able to stay focused on that dependence. We must always be praying in the Spirit. That is the Spirit-controlled life. That's what will bring peace. That is what will bring power as the Spirit of Christ does his mighty work through us. I covet that for you, and would you pray and covet that for your pastor? Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for these mighty themes that are woven together with all this wonderful truth. It is indeed the stuff, the truth, the fabric of our sanctification. Help us to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have questions about your relationship with God, or you would like to know more about the ministry of Good News Baptist Church, you can visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org or call us at 757-488-3241. We trust your heart was challenged as you listened, and we want to encourage you to share this message with others. May the truth of God's Word be your guide as you strive to follow Christ and make Him known to others.